everyone.
Thank you.
Let's see. Before we start the message, I have a verse I'd like to read before we go to prayer. And this is found in Luke chapter 24. And it's the record of the believers that were walking along the road to Emmaus after Christ has risen from the dead. And Jesus shows up and was walking with them. And I'm going to just read from verse 24. It says, "And certain of those who went with us to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him, then Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, ought not the Christ have suffered these things and entered into his glory?'" Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The reason I want to start with that this morning is because I want to invite the Lord Jesus to expound upon the scriptures the things concerning himself. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to open up the eyes of our hearts so that we can receive anything that the Lord has for us this morning to see the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together. And Lord, we know that you're an amazing, living lover of our souls. And Lord, we know that it's more on your heart and your desire for us to see you than we even know or think that we would like to see you. So Lord, burn in our hearts this morning the things concerning Christ, like you did to them believers on the road to Emmaus. We just offer ourselves to you today, Lord. Have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, I have an outline. And you know, I'm no academic, okay, but a friend of mine taught me that it kind of makes sense to have a little outline so folks know where we're heading with the message and what to expect. Okay, so here's the outline. It's three little points. The first one is the reality of the Christian life, which is kind of an iceberg. It really is, but that's the first point. The second point is the foundation of all, the all of God, which is Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the foundation. And then the final point is the wonderful privilege that we have to access God, the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit that dwells in us. So I think that's a lot. I don't know how you could ever get through something like that in like 40 minutes, but I'm going to try to race through it. But there's a lot there. So, you know, anything I leave out, the Holy Spirit will color it in for your heart. Okay, so first off, the reality of the Christian life. Now, when I say reality, I mean, what's real? You know, like, what is the Christian life really? The reality of the Christian life. Well, there's a verse that, in my humble opinion, I think it encapsulates the reality of the Christian life. And it's found in one verse. And if you take this verse, I think if this is the only verse you have in the whole Bible, you could meditate on it for the rest of your life and never get to the bottom of it. So the verse is found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And the verse goes like this: "I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I truly believe this is one verse says it all. And like, you could go in a million directions with this and still always arrive back at a wonderful Savior. And this to me just opens up the door to see Jesus in Scripture. So when Jesus gave himself to pay our sin debt and satisfy the righteous requirement of the law to please the Father, I died with him. That's what the verse says. That's the reality of the Christian life. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, we were there. We died with him. So that's where Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. In Romans 6:5, it says, for we have been united together with him in the likeness of his death. So by faith, we know this is to be true of every believer. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been united together with him. That's the reality of the Christian life. The day Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross, we were there because we're in him. When he died, we died with him. And when he rose victorious over death, we also with him. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, that's this body right now. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's not just faith. You know, everybody says, well, have faith, brother. Have faith. It's not just faith. It's faith in the Son of God, the living Lord Jesus Christ, the one who dwells in us. The only one, the only redeemer of all of mankind, the Savior of the world. Romans 6:5, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we died with him, but we also live with him. And yesterday we were talking at the men's breakfast about being joint heirs with him in communion with the Lord Jesus and participating in a relationship with him and participating in the redemptive work that he's doing right now on planet Earth. So, Jesus loves us. You know, and these verses are so common to us, sometimes we just lose the impact of it. And we just say, yeah, I know that. But, you know, just like let that soak in. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for you. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I shared yesterday at the men's breakfast, this death that our righteous Lord Jesus died was not cheap. It was at great cost that the Lord Jesus gave himself up for us. He suffered the death of the cross so that we could have eternal life. Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. You were in his heart when he went to that cross. When he died in anguish that day, when he bowed his head and said the last words that he said on the cross, it is finished. He did it joyfully. He did it with you in mind. And he would offer that to the whole world. And he knows each one of us by name, and he's intimately acquainted with each one of us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So really, you know, what's happening is, you know, Jesus didn't deserve to die, but we deserve to die. And that's where the love comes in. And that's where the love of God that has been shed abroad in our heart comes in. He loves us with a love that he said, I'll take their place of punishment. And you know, Jesus suffered the wrath of God, which the full indignation of the wrath of God for the sins of the world. It was compressed into 3 hours on the cross. It was a great cost. So I never want to talk about the cross and just go over it as if it was, yeah, we know that. No, this was big. So this wasn't a freebie. You know, when we say we receive Jesus Christ and we thank him that he died for us on the cross, I mean, really let your heart go there and realize what a great cost it was. And then also realize what a joy it was for him. The Lord Jesus, as it says in Hebrews, he went to the cross rejoicing that he could redeem us. He not only loves us, but he's in love with us. He was pleased to do it. He was pleased to please his Father. He paid our debt. I think that's pretty amazing, and I'm thankful for that. So you and me are the joy that was set before him. And you know, many years I puzzled over what, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I never could understand that until the Lord opened it up to me. And that's what the joy of the Lord is. The reality of the Christian life that our Lord Jesus went rejoicing to the cross and gladly took your place of punishment. And he did it with great joy in his heart. So when you understand the reality of that, that gives you strength. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's the reality of what the joy of the Lord is. So praise God, what a loving Savior we have. Galatians 2:20, he now lives in us and we are in him. So I think that's the reality of the Christian life. Think about the creator of the universe that lives in us. Just think about that for a minute. Like, he spoke the whole universe into existence. And that same creator lives in our hearts today by faith. And that's something to not take lightly. That is a powerful reality. And that's why I said it's the reality of the Christian life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the true creator of mankind and the redeemer of mankind, lives in us. Praise God. I think that's just awesome. So when you think about that, it should just set your heart to put your eyes on the Lord. And you know, that's what it does for me. It causes me to want to know him more. So anyway, so the second point is the foundation. And I put it this way. The foundation is the all of God. In Colossians 3:11, we see a revelation of Christ. And that's what the Bible is. And that's what I read to start this off with. The Bible is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a book with a lot of facts in it and a lot of history. That's all in there. But this is a revelation to reveal Christ to your heart, to help you know the living Spirit of God that dwells within you, to understand him. The Bible reveals the Lord Jesus to us. And the thing is, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, we see a revelation of Christ that is just a mind blower. And like when the Lord dawned this truth on my heart, and he's still doing it, because this is a revelation of Christ that I don't think we'll ever get. I think it's infinite. We will never see all of Jesus throughout all of eternity. He's that wonderful. He's that great. He's that awesome. And the verse is, Christ is all. I mean, like, there's nothing excluded in that verse. Christ is all. And so, as I started to look at that, when the reality of this dropped into my heart, that Christ is all, it really set my life in a different direction. Because I started to look for the Lord Jesus in Scripture. And then I started to see Jesus in Scripture. Instead of a book of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, history, stories that I didn't understand, laws and all the stuff about God in there that I was just like scratching my head all the time. Man, I don't know what this means. You know, nonstop. But when I started to realize that Christ is all, that the things of the, instead of just living the Christian life, I started living in the reality of a person. The Lord that lives within me, I started to see him come alive from the Scriptures. And that's what the verse I read in Luke there about the Emmaus Road. All the law, all the prophets, it's all concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's right there in black and white. But until you really start to lay hold of the revelation of Christ is all, I mean, that just, he's everything. He's all. There is nothing excluded. So it's a little verse, three words. Christ is all. That's just part of the verse, by the way. I just took that section out of the verse. But I call him the all of God. the direct expression of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to see Jesus as that, the Bible becomes different. And you realize, well, now the Holy Spirit can open up this book to your heart in a different way. When you're looking for Jesus instead of looking for help with a problem you have. Because that problem will be helped by the Lord Jesus, but it's a different way to look at Scripture. It's pretty amazing, really. So the Holy Spirit, through David, expresses it this way in Psalm 139, verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain it. I mean, this is a mind blower of mind blowers, that the Lord Jesus is all, and He dwells within us. And He gave Himself for us and opened the door for us. So we're in the section here of my outline that we're talking about the foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, the scripture says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So there's another complete revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. You know, He's not a foundation. He is the foundation of the Christian life. And I like this. I have this translation of the New Testament by Kenneth Wiest. It's called an expanded translation. And I'm going to read to you the same verse in his expanded translation, because it's pretty amazing. It really puts gives you a little more to thinking in it. It says here, this is 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For an alternative foundation no one is able to lay alongside of the one which has been laid. Which foundation is a person? Jesus Christ." And I think that's really cool, because when I was meditating on the verse in 1 Corinthians, I realized that the foundation is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the way Kenneth Weiss translates it, he comes right out and says it. He says, "Which foundation is a person?" And I thought that was pretty well. So that's 1 Corinthians 3:11. It says, I love this, because we can't lay a foundation. And I like the way he uses the word alternative foundation. I'm going somewhere with this. But Jesus said on the cross, just before he gave up his spirit, "It is finished." That foundation is laid, and it can't be laid again. And so there's no other foundation that anyone can lay. There's no alternative foundation. And I love the way that that is put in that passage there in that expanded translation, because I think in our lives, a lot of times we approach the Lord with an alternative, you know, approach. Like there's another way, but there's only one foundation. So I wanted to read from Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but I wanted to use it this morning to kind of illustrate this foundation, okay? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently against it, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." So everybody's familiar with the story, but I like to put that like in the context of the foundation, of building upon the foundation. And so I think sometimes we see here an awesome invitation to come to the Lord and to lay our life upon the foundation of Christ, to lay our Christian walk upon the foundation of Christ. So there's a difference between these two people that build a house in this story here. The first difference is the first person came to Jesus. So he didn't come to the Bible. He came to Jesus. See, you can come to the Bible with an alternative. But you get it. So you can come to the Bible with the wrong motive and not be building upon the foundation of Christ and laying your life and your hope solely on that foundation, that rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see this as an awesome invitation because Jesus said, whoever comes to me, that's what it says here. It says, whoever comes to me. So when you come to the Bible, you're coming to him. You come to him. I'm coming to the Bible to see you, Lord Jesus, because you are the foundation of the Christian life. You are the foundation. The foundation is a person. I'm not just coming to the Bible to figure everything out and figure all the history and get all this stuff straight. That's all in there. But that's not the purpose of us coming to the Bible. And when we come to the Bible, we come to Christ, we dig it. And see, coming to Christ is digging. See, when you come, that's what it says here. And see, whoever comes to me and does the sayings they hear, when you come with a heart motive, knowing that Christ is the foundation, that Christ is the purpose of us having this book and seeing him in Scripture, when we come with that, that is in essence a way that we're showing that we're digging. We're digging in to the Scriptures to see our wonderful Savior. We're digging into the Scriptures to know our Savior and to understand this wonderful salvation that he's provided for us. So, he's the bedrock of the Christian life. And, you know, because if you read this story, the storms of life are coming. And I read this one, not the one in Matthew, because this one has a little difference in it. It points out, coming to me. And I thought that was pretty amazing. But the storms of life are coming. You know? And if you're trying to find hope in anything, and you think you're going to stand, it ain't going to happen. But when you come to the Lord Jesus and you trust him by faith and realize that he is living in you and that he is your ever-present help in a time of need, that's what this is all about, is knowing the Lord Jesus and coming to him and building your Christian life on the rock of Jesus Christ. So, the difference is, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Yeah, I know that. Tell me something that, you know, give me something that I can really sink my teeth into. But, you know, there's nothing in the Scripture but the Lord Jesus. If you want to sink your teeth into something, sink into Jesus. Dig into him. And when the storms of life come and the trials of the day come and the problems and the things that we face, you'll be founded on the rock and it won't blow you down. But you see, there's a literal word, like when the house fell that wasn't founded upon the rock, it collapsed. And many times when we start our day or our week or whatever and we're working with an alternative foundation. We're doing something that's not going after him, after the person of the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus is constantly interested in redeeming the world. That's his job. We're not the missionaries. He's the missionary. We're not the redeemers. He's the redeemer. And he lives in us, and now we're his body, and he wants to reach the world through us. So going in different directions, when the trials and the storms of life come, your life can crumble and collapse. But you know, there's great grace in having this story in your Bible. This is an invitation, really, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all. The mercies of God are new every day. And every day I see this foundational principle. It's a foundation. It's a principle, really. Build your day upon the Lord Jesus. Every day. And when the troubles and the storms and the attacks come, you will stand in that dark hour. And that's the principle that's here. So in Romans 8:1, I love this because this is really important. And I want to say this. I said it yesterday, but I want to share it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no guilt trip here. This is nothing but grace that we are here today, that the Lord is here, that He dwells within each one of us. If you call yourself a believer, you know the Lord is living in you. That's what we started with this morning. So the idea is this foundation, this principle of a foundation, it's in the Bible. We can take a different course. We could say, you know what? I want to seek the Lord Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Because He's all. There's nothing else. There's nothing beside Him. So Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And I want to stop right there because a lot of people, when they teach this passage of Scripture, they always put a qualifier on it. But you know, if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to be condemned. Well, you know what? Jesus dealt with our sin. He put it away once and for all. The cost was great. He's not concerned about that. He has forgiven us. There's no condemnation. So this message is not condemning. If you haven't been searching for the Lord Jesus in Scripture, don't feel condemned by it. Just start doing it. Trust Him. Just step out by faith and say, you know, I tell you, you know, because I'm a real dummy, really. I don't know much about English. I can't read that well. I can't understand things. But you know what? When I started to look for Jesus in Scripture, He started to really light my heart up with the reality of who He is. And He's given me a peace that passes all understanding. And as a result, you know, see, the mercies of God are new every day. And I see every day as a fresh start. That's what it says. The mercies of God are new every morning. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Start today. Lay your life upon the foundation of Christ. When you hear Christ, don't harden your heart. Listen to Him and seek Him through His Word. See, when we come to the Bible looking for an alternative foundation, it's earthly. It's worldly. And it's going to result in a collapse. You can bet on that. But like I said, there's no condemnation. You know, come to the Bible by faith in the Son of God who loved us, and He loves you. He loves me. And that's the way I look at it. I come to the Scriptures now and say, I love this guy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He loves me with an everlasting love. That's a love that never had a beginning and never had an end. He put me together in my mother's womb. Every day that I live, He saw it before it was ever walked out. And He's calling me. Whoever will come to me, He's going to give you the bread of life. So I see great grace in this passage of Scripture. I don't see do this or do that. I see come to Jesus and know Him. And, you know, we really do live in troubling times. And it's easy to get your eyes on the circumstances around us. Like, this country is not the same country as it was a couple years ago. And, especially when Tammy and I grew up, this is a different place. There is a different direction that this country is heading in. And we need, more than ever, we've always needed Him, but we need to dig down and find our rest and our hope and our peace in the Lord Jesus. So when you come to Jesus in Scripture, you're going to find grace and help in a time of need. You're going to find a Savior that is more than willing to work with you and to help you understand and to get through life. You know, in the Proverbs it says, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, knowing Him, He is understanding. He's understanding all that life throws at us. He'll show you how to negotiate this life because He's not troubled by any of it. The earth is established. He established it, and He's in control of it. So I would like to put another passage of Scripture with this foundational passage about building a house on a rock or building a house on the earth. It's easy to build your life on the earth. It's different to build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. And it takes a conscious understanding that He's everything. He's all. And He's not messing around. He is redeeming the world right now. The Lord Jesus is working. He says the Father works and I am working. And never diminish that or take it for granted. He wants to reach the world around you. He's not trying to raise up a military that'll go out and, you know, weave Jesus into every statement you make. He wants you to live and know Him. And He will do the redeeming through your life. So we get to join in with the work that He's doing. It's not our job. And it's not our problem. The sin in the world's not our problem. It's not our fault. You know, it's like God is dealing with it and He's going to deal with it. And He's going to redeem. He's going to fish out of this world every soul that'll say, I believe. And He's going to take them to be with Him forever. It's pretty amazing. So in Jeremiah chapter 18, I love this passage of Scripture because there's such grace right in the middle of all this judgment in Jeremiah and all these harsh things that are said. But this is really a wonderful passage of Scripture. And it really speaks to my heart. It says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know, as sometimes in my life, as it's spinning around on this planet, there's imperfection. And it's marred in the Lord's hand. And I love the grace in this passage. It says, he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And this is one of my favorite life verses. So he made it again into another vessel. And do you see the grace in this? The awesome Lord, like, it don't matter how long you've been kicking a can down the road, thinking that you're going after the Lord, you might be going in the wrong direction, you're not really pursuing a true and living relationship with the Lord, you're living, building your life on this earth. The Lord wants to fold that clay vessel up and re-throw it into a vessel that contains the all of God, the Lord Jesus. So I think there's this wonderful grace of that. And again, the mercies of God are new every morning. It's a new day. It's a new time to, with that principle of the foundation, just build that, your life, build your day, build your afternoon, build your evening on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have a wonderful privilege to enter into the joint heir with Christ part of Scripture. To really be able to let Him shine His life out of our life and reach this world through us. So in Luke chapter 24 again, where I started this morning, there's a little more that I'd like to read out of there. And they were walking along the road to Emmaus with Him, and they were pretty down because, you know, they kind of had a glimmer of hope because these two disciples said, you know, some people were at the tomb and they said they saw Him, but we didn't see Him. And then they're walking along and Jesus, that passage already read, He opened up the Scriptures and He expounded to them. And then later, you know, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when He opened the Scriptures to us? And that's what going to the foundation and digging for Jesus, that's when your heart will burn as He opens up the Scriptures to your heart. But the cool thing in the passage there in Luke chapter 24 and 29, it says, They were walking along, and Jesus would have just kept going. He's a gentleman. He didn't invite himself in. He didn't push his way in. He kept going. It says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. And I think that is really an awesome thing. You know, like, we could call on the Lord. Lord, come abide with me. And he went in. If you invite the Lord in, he's going to come. And it says, and he went in to stay with them. And he sat at the table with them. And Lord, come in. Abide with me. Dine at the table with me. That's what the idea is here. It says, and he sat at the table with them, and he took bread and broke it and gave it to them. And when you go for the foundation of the Lord, and you invite him to abide with you, and you're looking for him in Scripture, you can be guaranteed the Lord himself will break bread with you. He will take bread out of the Scriptures and feed your heart. It's pretty beautiful, really. And this is by faith. You know, in the secret place with the Lord Jesus, just you and him. Abide with me, Lord, and feed me the bread of life. So it goes on to say in that very passage, it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And see, that's Peter's prayer at the end of his second letter. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you invite the Lord to dine and abide with you, right? And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he begins to feed you. Then your eyes, the eyes of your heart, will be opened. And you'll know him. And that's the goal. And the more you know him, the more he works and begins to work through your life. See, in Revelation chapter 23, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens, remember what Jesus said to the builders? If you hear these sayings of mine, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. What an opportunity we have to invite the Lord to come and abide with us and open the door. And what I like to say is this is like building upon the rock. It's building upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's building upon him. It's a really an awesome invitation when Jesus is... See, this, by the way, this is a lot of times people use this passage to lead people to Christ, but this is for believers, really. It's given to the church. Behold, I'm standing at the door of the church knocking on it to your heart. If you open that door and you see me as the all of God, you see me as the one who can meet that spiritual need that you have, I'll come in. I will dine with you. I will take the bread and break it, and then your eyes will be open. And you will be feeding upon the Lord Jesus himself. See, Jesus is the bread of life. And there was something that, in Psalm 103, I just want to close with this. Psalm 103, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So the Lord is so in touch with each one of us. He knows our weakness. He knows our fears. He knows, and you know what? He pities us. He's, as a father pities his children. When you look at your children and you just hope the best for them, that's what you know, you just want the best for them. That's the heart of God toward each one of his children. He knows what we are. He knows how frail we are. You know, as I was looking at the mercy of God, because pity is kind of part of the definition of mercy, you know, and pity kind of encapsulates like understanding the person that you're looking at, their weakness, their need, And the Lord sees it. He sees our weakness. He sees our need. But God, throughout Scripture, is revealed as a merciful God. And, you know, like, we hear the word mercy all the time, and we go, yep, mercy. It's really cool. Mercy is. But, you know, this is a really amazing word, and it's an amazing revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a merciful Savior. He's not, he doesn't have mercy. He is mercy. Mercy is a person. Mercy is the Lord Jesus. And the idea is like in the Strums, of course, it's like kindness, showing kindness, showing compassion, having pity. You know, that's all kind of part of it. But there was something that really popped out. Like when I looked this word up in the Hebrew, which, it's like I'm thankful God that they have this concordance with, you know, Hebrew definitions, because the Lord led me to this, I believe. One of the definitions for the word mercy, it's the womb as cherishing a fetus. And I just thought, what a wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus. We are like, he protects us like the womb protects a developing fetus. And I just thought that was a beautiful thing of the Lord. So, just a tremendous reality that the Lord has called us into the fellowship of his Son. And now all we have to do is say, amen. I'm coming with you, Lord. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this time together. Thank you for this glimpse into the grace of who you are. And Lord, we ask that you would just, like you did with the believers on the Emmaus Road, as we consider these wonderful realities of who you are, Lord, burn it in our heart. Lord, teach us what it means to dig and to find the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and to build our every day and all of our hope on you. And we thank you, Lord, that it's your will. You give us the desire for this. And you also give us the ability to follow through with it. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.